This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanesan and Philip C. Let's talk about factory closures, because the question of to close or not to close has been hanging in the air for businesses, given the alarming COVID-19 situation at the moment. Now, last week, the Selangor government decided that only truly essential economic services should remain open, while other economic activities in the EMCO area must remain closed, at least until the restriction order is lifted.
But many industries are pleading with the government to reconsider its decision to close sectors in areas under the EMCO, citing their struggles to recover and meet demands. Just yesterday, we spoke about how numerous chambers of commerce called for the government to have a business-friendly targeted approach instead, which will allow companies to protect their investments, keep their staff and plan ahead.
So, you know, it's been quite a significant struggle. And to weigh in on this discussion this morning, we are speaking with Dato' Shamsuddin Bardan, Executive Director of the Malaysian Employers Federation. Dato', thank you so much for joining us this morning. Now, some are for the argument that factories ought to be completely shut down to address the worsening COVID-19 situation. Do you think that may be a poor reflection of the understanding of how the economy works? What are your thoughts?
Good morning, all. Yeah, and of course, this is a very important issue that I think we must address as far as whether to allow companies and factories to operate or whether we should completely shut them down. Of course, shutting them down means that we are putting a lot of pressure on the economic recovery. And I think that should be the last thing any government should do as far as measures to control COVID-19 is concerned. Because if you close the businesses, it means that businesses will not be able to bring in any revenue during that period. But the sad part is that they're expected to actually still pay for their fixed costs like wages, utilities, and also rentals, things like that. And of course, I would say that in the event we do that, then I would say more companies will be not able to exist anymore. So, say, for example, even without full closure last year, there were more than 32,000 companies that actually had decided to cease operation. And of course, this year, I think quite a number of companies had decided to cease operation, especially when you're talking about the smaller businesses. We are talking about those companies that are called as the micro enterprises. When we have a big number of these kind of companies, to them, they cannot survive beyond kind of 1 month if there is no revenue coming in. And I think we need to really take care of these kind of companies so that employees working with these kind of companies are still able to maintain their livelihood, and of course, they are able to put food on the table, and that is very critical. And especially so when we are at the stage now, even there are some families that are not able to put food on the table, you know, because work is lesser and lesser, and of course, income is very much impacted.
So, Dato, one of the key problems here, or one of the key concerns, excuse me, is the lack of clear SOPs, right? And sometimes erratic enforcement. And also, there are conflicting rules from MITI's CIMS system. About what we've seen here, I've got the front page of the Malaysian Reserve saying that MIDA says MITI and its agencies are currently drafting alternatives and refinements to SOPs governing businesses. What would you like to see in terms of changes to the SOPs?
Of course, I would say that, we had been in this game for the last more than 1 year, actually, and we are not able to put our policies straight. And that really is very, very sad because, once you have conflicting policies like that, then businesses are really put in a very, very difficult spot because they want to do that. They say, okay, hey, now that the rule changed already. And of course, this changing of the rules and changing of the policies sometimes occur every other day. And of course, the sad part also is that, we learn about all these changes through the media. Yeah. And of course, I mean, it's very difficult for any employer, for that matter, to do planning of their operation if they are not being informed, prior to that about the new policies and things like that. And of course, the thing is that when we do business, it is not just like switching on and off the business because, say, for example, like some of the factory operation, you need still to warm up the machine, you need to warm up the power supply, things like that. And of course, in the event we are not able to do that, of course, it can cause a lot of, I would say, damage to the machine that we have, things like that. So this is, I think, very important for the authorities to actually coordinate their acts. And of course, the other part is that, you know, we always talk about MITI, but, you know, when we talk about business, it's not everything about MITI, because you're talking about MITI in charge of the factories and things like that. You know, as far as manufacturing is concerned, the contribution to the economy now is about 23-24%, whereas the rest of the economy is not really under MITI. It is under some other ministries. And I think this is also something that I think we need to really address, because those kind of organizations are really at a limbo when you talk about how do we get our permission to travel from point A to point B, say, for example. Of course, we sometimes have no choice but to go to the MITI, but MITI say, hey, no, you are not under us, kind of thing. So this is, I think, something that I think the government really need to address, what we call it as the services industry. And I think someone out there need to actually really take care of this kind of companies, of businesses, so that at least we know where to go if there are issues that we need to address.
Now, but similarly, that for those businesses who are guilty of violating SOPs, putting their workers at risk, should the penalties be more severe as a deterrent? And what, as an association, are you doing to encourage compliance amongst your members?
Of course, SMEF, we really want the employers, even not just our members, all employees to really adhere to the SOPs very strictly, because it means that, you know, in the event you are able to comply with the SOP strictly, then, of course, the chances for you to really eliminate and control COVID-19 will be there. But, of course, as employers, we cannot work alone. We need to actually have a good cooperation from the employees, things like that. Yeah. Now, we can say that these are the rules, these are the regulations, but the employees are not giving their cooperation. Also, it's going to be very, very difficult for us to enforce the rules. And of course, again, when we talk about this kind of situation, what we are really looking at is that, you know, we need to really be given the opportunity to actually more like self-regulate, yeah? Give us the clear rules so that we can actually implement it clearly at the company level. And of course, I would say that, you know, in a situation where we are trying and struggling hard to actually control the pandemic, yeah, it is very, very important actually for us also to actually make sure that companies comply, employees comply with all the requirements. But I would say that increasing the penalty alone would not really, able to eliminate the pandemic. What is important is that employees should be given a better understanding why certain SOP need to be complied. So, say, for example, if you say that you have to actually, use the hand sanitizer more often. So what is the reason why you want to do like that? Of course, if we know the reason and we know that if we are able to actually control the spread of COVID-19 by one of the things is hand sanitizing, then of course, yes, that will be something that employees will be doing it not just because of the penalty, but because of the reason behind it.
Dato', thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Dato' Shamsuddin Bardan, Executive Director of the Malaysian Employers Federation. And, you know, the issue of coordination, particularly cross-ministry, is something that we have seen before, right? It's a massive legacy issue when it comes to our ministries and what department is parked under which ministry. Some of them don't even really make sense. And this is something that is not, it's a difficult thing to overcome, particularly when we are also facing, in tandem, a global pandemic.
Yeah, it's not always as clear-cut as it seems. It's complicated, but also that is unfortunately the accountability responsibility of the government, and nonetheless, especially when you when you are enforcing these kind of things, right? The shutdowns we've seen have been a government mandated shutdowns, which means you have to do it in a way that works out, mm-hmm. And isn't so short sighted, I guess.
Yes, certainly something that we're going to be keeping an eye on. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.